As we come together, what a wonderful way to be put in a mindset to hear Holy Scripture. Today, I'm going to read two different passages because they both seem to speak to me and I hope to you. I believe they are God's words for us today. The first is from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. It's in page 92 of the New Testament of your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. Hear the word of God. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set this seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And then a short passage from the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, on page 182 of your New Testament. And this is Paul's letter that he wrote from prison when he was being persecuted. Hear the word. "I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, 'When he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people.' When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? I'm sure that all of us have been asked that question many, many times in our lives. And I'd also guess that most of us have asked it many times of young people. Maybe our own kids or perhaps some other family member. What do you want to be when you grow up? There's somebody who doesn't know. I can remember vividly being asked that question when I was a kid, and then again when I was a teenager, and even when I was at college, they were always asking me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I can remember answering when I was a little guy that I wanted to be a marine biologist. And then later, that I wanted to be a park ranger. But I can honestly say that it wasn't until much later in life that I even ever considered being a pastor in the United Methodist Church. If you had told me when I was a kid growing up in Central Ohio that someday I would be a pastor in Aurora, Colorado, I would have laughed out loud right in your face. But I guess that with age sometimes comes maturity. And with maturity sometimes comes a small bit of wisdom. I believe that this is at the heart of the message that Paul has for the church in Ephesus. He is asking these early Christians to think hard about their calling and their maturity and their unity. And I would like each of you here this morning to consider these questions as well. I want you to think about God's call on your life, your spiritual maturity, and how you can work together toward the unity of the church. Paul teaches the Ephesians something that I believe with all my heart to be true. God has given each of us gifts to be used in furthering God's kingdom. Paul talks about God's gifts that allow some people to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Paul describes these because these were the obvious roles that people could play in the early church. Paul doesn't say that God has given some people gifts, but rather Paul tells us that God has given each person gifts. Everyone has been given gifts, and everyone has a role to play. Every one of us is called at one time or another in life to answer God's summons. It is our job to listen and look and identify our own God-given gifts. Now, there is an aspect of our lives that was true in the first century, and it is equally true today in the 21st century, and that is this. Each of us has many roles to play in our lives, and each of us wears many hats or collars or costumes. I know that as I look out at you here this morning, that I am looking at apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. And I am also nearly certain that someone here today will one day follow the call to formal ministry as a pastor in the church as well. Some one of you. But I can also see that each of us has other roles in life to play as well. We are brothers and sisters, fathers, mothers, son, daughter, blue-collar worker, white-collar worker, retiree, student, clown. The list goes on and on. But the bottom line is that God has given each of us gifts and roles in life, all of which can be used in the service of the church. All of these gifts and roles can be used in order to glorify God and to further God's kingdom. It's up to each of us, though, to listen and to discern God's call and then to respond. When you talk about God's call on our individual lives, you should also consider the question of spiritual maturity. Now, just as each of us has a different role to play in life, each of us is at a different place in our journey with Christ. In my exploration of the church throughout life, I have met people who have never opened a Bible, but who came to church. On the other end of the spectrum, I've known folks with Master of Divinity degrees and PhD degrees in biblical studies. I've known people who have attended church their whole lives, but who don't even believe in Jesus Christ. And I've known priests and monks and sisters who have committed their whole lives to serving the risen Lord. I've known people who weren't at all interested in organized religion, but who were themselves more Christian than people who attend church every Sunday. The point here is this: each of us starts at where we are, and then each of us needs to grow and mature in our understanding of God. From our individual starting place, we need to continue to move forward in the development of our faith. And there are many ways that we can do this. I believe that it is always easier and more effective to grow and mature in our spiritual lives when we come together as the body of Christ in the Christian church. We can help each other as we walk together in following Jesus. Paul calls us to work together and to grow together in unity. He says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." In fact, I would go one step further to say boldly that you cannot be a Christian unless you claim your calling from God and unless you are in community. We are stronger together than we are separately. Our collective strength is always greater than the sum of our individual gifts. There is synergy in our collective spirituality. In a nutshell, here is the point of God's message today. God calls each of us to accept the divine call on our lives. God calls us to grow in faith and knowledge of God and to work together toward unity in the church. Now, that sounds like a pretty tall order, but here's another thing that I've discovered over time. God asks a lot of you, but God never asks more than you are able to do, and God never leaves you without help. We often balk at God's call, but it's usually out of our stubbornness and fear, not out of any inability for us to do what God is asking. God is able, and so are we. And that's one of the strongest lessons from the passage I read this morning from John. When the crowd asked Jesus what they were supposed to do in order to follow and to do God's work, Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." That's it. That's the work of God, that you believe in Jesus Christ. But Jesus doesn't simply hand them the work order. Jesus doesn't simply list off the expectations of the Father in heaven. Jesus is ready with the assistance they need to further God's kingdom. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." If we would be overwhelmed by what it is that we are supposed to do in order to be faithful disciples of Christ, if we would be discouraged, we simply need to come to recharge our spiritual batteries every month in the service of Holy Communion. This is our tangible reminder of God's love. It is the graphic illustration of Christ's sacrifice for our sins. And it is the promise of the banquet in heaven at the consummation of God's kingdom on earth. Simply put, God provides us the fuel we need in order to do God's work. This fuel is Christ's own body and blood, God's commitment to us. We will come together in unity this morning to grow together in faith and maturity to receive God's wonderful gift of communion. In a delightful summation of his message, Paul calls us to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Jesus Christ calls us to follow him. So, what do you want to be when you grow up? Let me know when you figure it out. Amen.